The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Terraway, Northwest London, Sunday, the 29th of November, 13th of Kislev, Tovshi and Pei Aleph, Rabbi Aubrey Hirsch, the shiur has just begun.
Trade-off, and therefore, what creates the uniqueness of each Kodesh is defined by the Sefer Yetzirah as particular. So as we said in Kislev, the letter Samach, the Keshes, the bow, and the sense of Shena. In addition to that, each Kodesh has a Shevet that is relevant in the order of the Degolim. In the case of Kislev, it is Binyamin. And finally, the Arizal was Megala to us that the Shem Havaya, Yudke Vovke, has 12 ways that you can write it. You can write it the ordinary way, the Yud, followed by a He, followed by a Vov, followed by a He. Or you could write it Yud, He, He, Vov, or Yud, Vov, He, He. There are 12 Sirufei Shemus. Both ways of writing it, and nowadays, in most Sidurim, either just before Musaf Rosh Chodesh or in the text of Musaf Rosh Chodesh, you have these Yud Beit Sirufei Oisyes. In the case of Kislev, it is Vov Yud Hei Hei, and it is always linked to a posuk or to part of a posuk. And with Kislev, the Vov Yud Hei Hei comes from Parshas Vayechi. Vayar Yeshev Ha'oret Haknani. So these are the particular elements that go into defining each Chodesh. We will start with understanding Vayar Yeshev Ha'oret Haknani. Where does this posuk occur? At rather unusual event. Yaakov is being taken to Kvura. And they make an Evel Godel in Geren Ha'otod, which is explained in various ways. It's a bond surrounded by thorns. It's a very unusual setup here. There is a whole Ramban there, which is censored about a Milchoma that takes place. Either way, this is the event that precedes the actual kvura of Yaakov Avinu. When did Yaakov die? So Yaakov is identified with Sukkos. Yaakov al pi the Masero was born and died on Sukkos, Tesvav Tishri, and the Torah in Vayechi tells us that it was 70 days later that they took his body to the Moris Machpelah. 70 days after Tesvav Kislev is, after Tesvav Tishri is Chof He Kislev, Hanukkah. That's when this event is taking place. And the interesting thing about the Chodesh Kislev is that it is a month of darkness. Meaning, the days get longer, shorter and shorter, the nights get longer and longer. And Hagam, we have the expression in the Gemara about Lele Teves. That's because Teves is the month which starts with the longest nights. But Kislev, the Mahalach of the month, as you get further and further into Kislev, it gets darker and darker. And this is paralleled in what is taking place at this moment in time. Yaakov has died. The Ovois are no longer. Golos Mitzrayim is about to start. And Vayar Yeshev Ha'aretz HaKanani, they see what is going on here, and they basically predict the downfall of Klal Yisrael. This is the beginning of the end. And we have an expression which is relevant to what takes place in Geren Ha'otod, from Hallel Sabuni Kidvarim. They have surrounded me, and I am now at the mercy of all my enemies. And that's from the perspective of a newspaper reporter. That's how he would be recording the events then, the time of Choshech. Except that we have an expression, Tzadikim b'misosom kriim chayim. What does that mean? Interesting, it doesn't say that they are also alive after they've died. When they die, that's when they're alive. Why? Because for tzaddikim, the ikar chius, the ikar chayim, takes place afterwards. So we are seeing superficially miso, but in reality, it's the beginning of chayim. And we know that in that very sedra, Bikesh Yaakov legalis esakets. What is Yaakov attempting to do? Not just to give them a date, but to tell them that all of Golos, all of Olam Hazeh, will result in something that is not only supernatural, but bringing in oyer, bringing in light. It looks as Golos, but it's leading to Geula. And the very essence of burial, and the reason we're so mukted and covered hames, etc., is because there is a belief in tchiyas hamesim. There is a belief that hagam now, everything looks as if it's come to an end. And in the same way as David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, so too there is a bigger picture which isn't necessarily being seen with our eyes. And there is a fascinating Gemara in Tainis, the Hayam place, where there's a discussion between two Amoraim, and one of the two says, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis, didn't die. What that means, because the other Amora says, B'chi B'chinam, so all the Hespedim, all the Chanota, everything, the embalming, and the Kvura, all of it was B'chinam, and none of it was real. It's interesting, Rashi seems to take on Kipshutai, actually did not die. The Ramban has a very interesting mahalach there, and we know that there are various Gemaras about various Tanoim and Amoraim. Revi, in particular, used to come back every Friday night and make Kiddush, which would imply that not only was he somehow there, but that he was Mechuyev Mitzvahs, although that element of him making Kiddush is the Sefer Chassidim, that's not what is brought in the Gemara itself. Either way, we have at various points individuals described as Loi Meis. The Rashba explains, what does it mean, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis? Sheheniach ben Kamoisei. Yaakov, unlike Avraham and Yitzhak, was Mitosei Shlema. He created, so to speak, a next door that was complete. And therefore, even though he died, there was an absolute continuity. It looked like Choshech, but beyosoid there was Oyer. And therefore, saying Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed was possible at that time. And interestingly, we note that Bikish Yaakov Legalos Es Haketz, but he was unable to, because if you look into the letters of the Shiftei Kar, you go through Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, you don't find the letters Kuf and Tzadi. The letters Ketz don't appear in there. So Yaakov sees that it doesn't occur, I can't, so to speak, give them the kate, and he was worried, Shema Goram HaChet, maybe it's because of sin, maybe there's something lacking, maybe he isn't Mitosei Shlema. And then he saw that equally in the letters that make up the Shiftei Kar, there aren't the letters Ches and Tes. There is no Chet. And therefore the reason he can't be Megala the kate is because the mahalach, the approach to get to that time of Kate, is by going through darkness and knowing there will be oir. That the oir is not there, it is the idea, it's the knowledge that there will be a zman of oir that keeps us going. And therefore, Vayar Yeshev Oretz HaKanani, they are seeing Golus. They are seeing the end of the Parsha of the Ovis. But we know, we have an emuna that there will be oir. Interestingly, the mitzvah of Hanukkah is the last of the 620 mitzvahs to be given to us. They're Tariag mitzvahs and seven mitzvahs drabonim. Of the seven mitzvahs, the final one was the mitzvah of Hanukkah. It is the last connection, so to speak, with creating something for Klal Yisrael to keep them going. The interesting thing about Ner Hanukkah is that the mitzvah did not last, by which I mean the events that created Hanukkah, of them being Mechanech the Beis HaMikdosh and getting rid of the Yevonim, very, very temporary. Within a few years of them regaining control over the Beis HaMikdosh, the Hashmonaim would be kicked out of Yerushalayim, and they would be back in Midbar Yehuda. It was a very temporary victory. The real victory only takes place 23 years after the story that we have as Hanukkah. So from a physical perspective, it actually doesn't take place then. It's a temporary respite. And that's really what Ner Hanukkah is. It's a temporary oir to keep us going with the yediyah that there will be a final oir. And therefore, we have a very interesting set of halachas when it comes to Ner Hanukkah. First of all, we know that Kovsa Ein Zakuk La. The light goes out, you don't relight it. Why? Because the whole of Hanukkah is to have that flash of light, is to have a moment when I'm put back onto the straight and narrow to keep me going. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that this is how you light, how you fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. If it's a time of sakana, put it on your table inside your house. Don't do the mitzvah as, so to speak, as it's ketikuna. Put it on your table, v'dayo. You don't find in Hilchos Purim, u'b'shasa sakana, I don't know, read the first five psukim, v'dayo. Since when does Shulchan Aruch bring l'chatchila into the Hilchos Hachag, how to deal with it if there is a problem? Because the whole of Hanukkah is taking place as an inyan of sakana, and meinichal shulchanai v'dayo, the minimal amount will still keep us going. Hence the concept of kosa im zokukla. It's the whole idea of there being a moment that sets me back on the straight and narrow. That's vayar yeshev haaretz haknani.
Yes, we just what was this 23 years?
That was an entire show in its own right. But I do have it online somewhere. as good as I can put it at the moment. Now, what about the Tziruf Shem of Vav Yud Hey followed by the Hey? So, normally speaking, the regular Mahalach, as we find in Chodesh Nisan, is the Yud followed by the Hey and the Vav followed by the Hey. The Yud is the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Olam HaRuchni. As we know, first the Olam HaRuchni is created, Bereishis Bara Elokim Et HaShamayim, and then the Es HaOretz. So it is that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Ein Sof, coming into a matzav of creation, of Bria. That's the nice saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating. The first hay is the first element of creation being formed. So the yud is the nisin, and the hay is the makabah. The parallel to that is the second two letters of Shem Havaya, The Vav is we who in this Olam HaGashmi create. And the Hey is the Makabel of that creation. The Vav, therefore, is the male, and the Hey is the female. And in the creation of a child, that is how the child is formed. The father is the Nesein of the Zera, and the mother is
Kol Halashon,
the Makabel of that Zera, and creates and forms the child. And that's why it's not an accident that it's Vav and Hey. Because in Lashon Kodesh, any noun that is male, his chair, ends with a vav. And any noun that is female, her chair, ends with a hey. So the yud followed by the hey is HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Nesein, and the world being the Makabel. The vav and the hey is me, mahu af ata, is me doing the equivalent, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Nesein, and hey is the physical world being the Makabel. That's the normal Mahalach HaDvarim. In the Chodesh Kislev, the Vav comes first, which means that we are starting the process. It's Arusa de Lasata. We are doing the action, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is following on from that, which is why on Chanukah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a, so to speak, unnecessary nes. Because Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, we didn't need the nes of the Pach Shemen in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah there and then. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the chesem on the maisim that we have done. Now, of course, when we start the process, the light is not as bright, because it's created by us, not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it is, in many ways, more intimate, more real, because it's something that I've done, rather than me simply, quote-unquote, imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am the one who is initiating the process. And therefore, specifically in Kislev, which is the Chodesh which gets darker and darker and darker, the way out of it is I create a moment of light which doesn't last. It's Kofsa Ein Zakukla. It doesn't last. But what it does is it allows me to hold on to the Yediyah, to the Emunah, that there will eventually be Oyer. It allows me to hold on to that very last of the 620 mitzvahs, even though there's nothing coming after this, and know that this will create the Keser, which is Gematria, 620 of all of the mitzvahs, at the end of time. This is therefore also the idea of Keshes. So if Yetzirah tells us that the symbol of this month is the Keshet, the bow, the rainbow. The rainbow is something which is a physical phenomenon, but we make a bracha over it. We have Gemaras that tell us about Doiris, where the rainbow did not appear, Doir Shumbay Achai. So even though, from a laboratory scientific perspective, we can tell you that the rainbow appears when there's the rain and the sun and whatever. Very nice. But at the end of the day, there is a spiritual, there's a ruchni meaning to it, which is why it sometimes does and sometimes does not appear. The Greeks, the Yvonim, see everything in scientific terms. They are the masters, so to speak, of science, and they create a philosophy which says the world revolves around me. If I understand it, I define it. If I don't understand it, this supernatural stuff, I don't need any of it. Whereas Yiddishkeit, of course we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chukei HaTeva. You're not going to deny gravity. If you hold something and let go of it, it will drop to the floor at 9.81 meters per square minute, foot, second. Can't remember. It's been a year since I've actually went to a science class. Either way, there are chukei hateva. We're not going to deny them. But nevertheless, when it comes to meaning, we are not going to simply relegate it to something that I can define. The very fact that the rainbow is a source of light which refracts dafka into seven colors, which is the underlying foundation of Olam Hazeh, the concept of seven, the idea that there are 7 days of the week, seven notes on the musical scale, seven colors. That tells me that, yes, you're going to point to a scientific explanation for the refraction of light, but the fact that it refracts into seven tells me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind it. And therefore, the Yevonim are symbolized by the concept of the science of Keshes, and we see much more to it. Now, when it comes to COVID, so what do we want scientists and doctors to do? They've come up with a cure. We want them to deal with the physical phenomenon. We don't want them starting to figure out why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it happen. But that's where we have to pick up. Where they leave off, that's where we have to pick up. And therefore, it's interesting also in Parshas Vayechi, we come across the concept of Keshes in a completely different environment to the one that we normally translate it as. A Keshes, a bow, is a symbol of war. Your action, the more action you put into it, the further the arrow will fly. Yaakov Avinu uses the term bekashti, becharbi of bekashti, and Targum Unglis tells us it is the concept of tefillah. That's how he conquered the town of Shechem. Tefillah is everything except action. It is words, and it is kavana. That's what creates tefillah. And tefillah is very unscientific, because it can't be measured. It can't be predicted. A person doesn't know when they daven that X will or won't happen. It is a function of the emunah that we have that makes tefillah happen. So when their keshes comes to an end, our keshes starts. And therefore, so far we've understood how the Chodesh of Kislev is one which has Choshech to it, and superficially, Yaakov is being buried. It is a time where Golos starts, but we know that there is an Ur, the Ur Hagonos, which is eventually going to appear. And similarly, in the physical world, the Greeks will see only the physical properties of everything around them. We will see much more. This brings us to the letter Samach, which, as the Sefer Yetzirah said, is also a definition of Chodesh Kislev. The first time we come across the letter Samach in Torah is Hu HaSevev. We are describing the rivers that come out of Gan Eden, and one of them surrounds the concept of Sevev, of being surrounded, is precisely these two definitions as well. On the one hand, we know that the Yetzer Hara completely encircles me. And in Molei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizrei, we would have no way of defeating the Yetzer Hara. In fact, in the second bracha, Shemini Esrei, when we talk about Matir Asurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu releases us from our shackles, we are completely bound by the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, we need something that releases us from this. That is the Samach of Samech Hashem L'chol HaNeflim, of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ur HaMakif, is that which surrounds us. So at the very same time, we mentioned earlier the posuk in Hallel of Sabuni Kidvarim. They surrounded me. Yet at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also surrounds me. And in very fact, it's not just the idea that the first time that Samach appears is in the word Hu HaSevev, which completely encircles. It's the fact that the letter Samach does encircle when you look at it as an ois. So all of these things tell us that within the Chodesh Kislev, I see superficially Choshech, but there is actually much more to it. Finally, we will deal with the Shevet, of this month, which is the Fi Seder HaDgolim. The Shevet of this month is the Shevet of Binyamin. Binyamin was the last of the Shvatim to be born. It was the only Shevet to be born in Eretz Yisrael. When Binyamin is born, we can now apply the concept of Mitosei Shlema. It only takes place now. It's only at this moment that Yaakov's Mita is complete. Yet, the interesting thing about Binyamin is that he's born into darkness. Because Rachel dies in childbirth and gives him a name of Ben Oini, Va'oviv Korolei Binyamin, meaning that Binyamin's birth is a time of difficulty, is a time of Nisayon, and Rachel will never bring up that child. Hence Ben Oini, concept of Aninus. But Yaakov sees further into the future of what will happen now that Binyamin has been born. Koroloi Ben Yamin. Concept of the idea that at the end there will be a completion, there will be a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there will be a binyan. And this also ties into the sense that the Sefer Yetzirah ties to the Chodesh of Kislev, which is the Chush of Shena, of being asleep. Normally speaking, once again, Shena is something which means I'm non-functional. And from a conscious perspective, from a physical perspective, there's nothing happening. But there is a subconscious. And if you look in multiple passages in the Zohar, you'll see where the neshama visits during Shena, what it is able to achieve. And the Stipler writes that the reason the person should fall asleep, literally through learning, is because this is the boost to the neshama just before a person falls asleep, so that all of those hours can result as the outcome of this physical learning of Torah, which I initiated just before I fell asleep. And we know that people will sometimes wake up in the morning and have an idea of Torah that has occurred to them. And you know, the expression in Yiddish, an Einfall. Where did it fall in from? Like, what made it happen? What made it happen is that even though from a perspective of me looking at it, Shena seems to imply I'm doing nothing, but actually there can be a lot happening. It needs hakana. It needs me to do something to actualize it. But there is the concept of even when it appears one way of being a different way. And hence, the Chodesh of Kislev, which gets darker and darker as we go through it, we should know that the placement of Chof Hei Kislev at the end of it is the concept of Oir that accompanies us, and even if every year we only have one flash of this light, to the extent that Kofsa in Zokukla, we should understand that it presages the fact that at the end of time, that light that originally existed will come back to us once again. We are doing the work, and then who copies us. That's the macabre.
Thank you.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.